this David to be so happy? Who are all of these people dancing with him in this joyous parade? I know that the way the scripture is laid out in your bulletins and the way that Liz read it makes it sound like this is a coronation celebration, a parade and celebration of David's ascension to the throne after Saul, but it's not. There are a bunch of verses missing there. A whole war worth of verses are missing there. And then there are all the wars that came before. So these people are the descendants, the story goes, the descendants of those slaves who were freed in the Exodus and found a homeland. And many generations later, they have decided that they need, in order to participate in international economy and international politics in their region, that they need a king. God famously warns them about what having a king will mean. A king will make your children soldiers and farmers who work only for the king. A king will make your children work in the castle only. A king will take your best vineyards, your best land, your best workhorses, and your best slaves. And after all of that, the king will also tax you 10%. The people decide to ignore God's good counsel, and they get rid of their traditional system of judges and prophets and put Saul, on the throne. And then everything that God predicted comes true. Saul immediately goes to war with the Ammonites and the Moabites, who are cousins to the Israelites in the family tree of Abraham and Sarah. Saul goes to war with the Philistines. So yeah, the people got their international politics. They got their international politics in blood. Saul's monarchy, of course, collapses, and so spectacularly that not even any of his children can take the throne after him. And so this David, this shepherd and this musician, after a lot of lying and bad feeling between the two of them, takes over Saul's throne. But the wars don't stop. David's is not a peaceable kingdom. No kingdom is. Ours isn't. Our children, we are slaves to rising costs and jobs too difficult and underpaid. The resource of our time is consumed by perpetrators of lies and propagators of division. The resource of our attention is literally being capitalized by software and devices that earn money from the dopamine reactions in our brains and our addictiveness. And I don't know that our taxes are really serving all of us. I don't know that we really have good education for all and safe roads, let alone decent mental health care services. And we know a lot about war still. The veterans in this room would tell stories we would wish we could immediately forget. The refugees from war in this room would tell us about moments in their lives harrowing and hair-raising. The families of our soldiers who sit in this room, they live alongside us, but they live with an understanding that the rest of us don't have, that when one person enlists, it's the whole family that is in service to the nation. And we might think that our land is soaked from those individual gunmen going to synagogues and schools and nightclubs, but we would be struck dumb by the rivers of red that have dug chasms in the other lands where the United States is still participating in wars and armed conflicts. Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya, Somalia, Yemen, Niger, and Syria. Whatever is left of Syria. So how can we, like David and his people, how can we come here this morning and sing these songs of joy, not with the lyre and the tambourine? Thank goodness I am not having to use a tambourine in worship, right? I don't have the rhythm for that. But how can we come here to sing songs of joy with the piano and the pipe organ? How dare we, when the world is still such a mess? I think it's because we haven't. It's because we have not sung enough with joy that our lives have been able to fill with kings and their wars. So David and his legion in the story, when they're parading with the ark, again, it's not for a coronation, but it's also not for a religious celebration. They're parading because they have reclaimed it. The ark had been captured from them as part of their eternal warring. So this is a parade of conquest. It's a celebration of return. And I guess I don't begrudge them that joy. It's a joy to get the ark back. But I think that there's a better way to tell this story, a more faithful way to live this story. Maybe if they'd paraded with the ark first, before the wars. Maybe they should have let the ark and its contents lead the way instead of the kings. Because remember, what we're taught to believe is in the ark. The idea is that in this acacia wood crate covered with cherubim, and not the cute kind, there are the second set of tablets on which Moses wrote down God's Decalogue, or God's commandments, God's teachings when the people were first homeless, but also first free. Do not kill, do not steal. Do not spend your time ogling the people and the possessions on the other side of the fence. Do not be sloppy in your speech and in your promises. Do not create an image of power that suits your needs, but pay attention to the power that sets all people free. Don't work too hard. Don't make anyone else work too hard. And do not ignore the wisdom of the people who have walked this earth before you. Now imagine a people who sang that song, who every day found a way to lead that parade, singing, "Oh, thank God we do not have to practice death and deceit any longer. Thank God violence isn't our first tool, but respectful listening. Thank God we don't have to give in to the pressures of greed and then disappointment. Thank God for all the energy we have to be generous now that we're not working 80 or 100 hours a week. Thank God we are not the center of our own attention anymore and we can now stand in awe at the rest of creation. Thank God we can sing that we have finally learned the life-losing lessons of our elders." Imagine those people. Imagine how we can be those people. We can be those people who, not despite the world scale devastation we are witnessing, but because of it, sing a song of joy for the compassion that is cultivated in these lessons of good neighborliness and righteousness handed down to us, ancient and simple. Imagine that. Because we could be that. And maybe we should be that. Acts of joy in times of grievous sorrow are not indulgent. Our joy today is not a sign that we don't care. Joy is a revolutionary act of peace. When we are joyous, we are not trolling. When we are joyous, we are not bludgeoning. When we are joyous, we are energetic and we are expansive and we are just. In this theological interpretation of their history, the Bible is a theological interpretation of a person's history, factual or otherwise. Our faith ancestors tell this story of God warning them of the hell that a king will reap. Whether God really said that or not, I don't know. But generation after generation and people after people of all religions and types have learned that kings care not at all about lives and land unless it is to their own benefit. But our lives are not meant for war. Our lives are not meant for combative nationalism. Our lives are meant for a peaceable dance. When we offer our own theological interpretation of our lives, let that be the tale. Let the true tale we tell be about the day we decided to heed God's good counsel. Now, don't hear that as me being anti-Semitic and anti-people of the Hebrew Bible. You know that Christians are nightmares too. We are just as willing to ignore our holy stories. But let us tell a tale true of the day that a king tried to use our attention for hatred, our energy for division, and our resources for destruction. Let us tell the tale that when the king did that, we did a pirouette and we sang a song. We sang a song so loud on that day, so loud and so long, about our love of God and all God's creation over king and country, that the slaves to fear, the slaves to racism, the slaves to poverty, the slaves to ignorance, the slaves to transphobia, the slaves to complacency, all of the slaves were set free once more. Amen.